So I have a question for you. Are you spiritually mature? It's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? Maybe a deeper question. Are you without sin? And maybe even yet a deeper question. Are you all-knowing? No? None of those? Really? I'm not doing my job. No. It's a very normal and natural and common thing for you and I to not believe God. Or maybe put a better way, to sometimes, first of all, not understand him, but also to not maybe fully believe that he's really there, that he loves us, that he cares about us, right? There are times in our lives, maybe lots of times, maybe right this moment, when we too feel like Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, right? And you and I, in our prayer for whatever it is, might say something even subliminally like, Lord, don't you know we're perishing here? What's wrong with you? Why are you just sleeping? And the phrase that keeps coming to me over and over, my brothers and sisters, is, of course, you and I are not spiritually mature, because we're always on the journey. We're not sinless, and we're certainly not all-knowing. So you and I can be forgiven, if you will, from having those doubts. But the phrase we need to keep in mind always and everywhere throughout our lives is, and I've said this before, God is God and we are not. Now, the best analogy I can think of this is a parent and a child, right? So children, especially young children, have opinions about what the best thing ever might be, right? And they're 1,000% convinced that what they think and want is the best thing ever. But you as parents know better, right? You know that X, Y, or Z that they want to do, or they want to get, or they want to eat, or whatever it is, isn't the best thing ever. From their point of view, and you and I were all little kids, we can relate to this. From their point of view, parents can be pretty mean. Well, how dare you not give me what I want? Right? But the parent loves deeply the children and knows what will make them actually happy, not just give them pleasure, but in the long run be dangerous or unhealthy or whatever. So both our first reading today from the book of Job and our gospel point to this dynamic. My grandma, God rest her soul, Grandma Ronan, she was Irish, and she used to have this phrase that is common, you've all heard it before, but when she would express frustration or exasperation, she'd say, "What the Sam Hill?" Right? It's just one of those things. It's like, what are you doing? You know, whatever. And again, I think we can be forgiven for reading passages like this, whether it's the book of Job or our gospel passage, and thinking about the application in our lives and saying, Lord, what the Sam Hill? What are you doing? The book of Job, for example, is probably one of the best, greatest things we can read in God's revelation, in God's sacred scripture, that about this whole dynamic, this whole challenge of understanding why does God allow suffering, especially with people that don't seem to have done anything to deserve it. So most of you know the story of Job, but just as a brief reminder, Job was a very righteous man. God had blessed him greatly. He had, you know, huge family. He had livestock and grain and all. I mean, he had it all. And thankfully, even having it all, he was very faithful to God, right? And so one day, Satan says to God, or God says to Satan, you know, how about that Job, huh? He's pretty good, right? He's very faithful and solid. And Satan said, well, yeah, of course, because he's got everything, Right? You've given him everything. Why wouldn't he be faithful? He said, let me take that all away and then see how faithful he is. And God said, okay. And so God allows this challenge by Satan. And he allows Satan to literally take everything from Job. Everything. His family, his livestock, his lands, his grain, his health. Everything he had was wiped away in an instant. What did Job do? GD, what are you doing to me? Why, how did? No, he didn't curse God. He just said, basically, if we are okay with good, we should be okay with evil. Meaning, whatever God gives, good or bad, is what we should accept. So God then looks at Satan again and he says, see, told ya. And that was true. And that's what Job's response was. But Job wasn't sinless either. Job wasn't necessarily fully spiritually mature. And he certainly wasn't all-knowing. And so in his humanness, even though he didn't curse God and all that, he did come to sort of get frustrated with what God had done. And he started to grumble to God, right? And say, Lord, why did you make me? I mean, he didn't curse him for doing what he did. He just said, why bother? Why didn't you just kill me when I was in the womb rather than put me through all of this? And in four chapters in the book of Job, 38 to 41, I believe it is, there's this beautiful, beautiful conversation that God has with Job. And a part of it we see in our first reading today. But the conversation starts, and I'm paraphrasing, with God saying to Job, oh, okay, let me get this straight. Were you there when I threw all those stars in the sky? Were you there when I created the worlds, the earth, the stars, the moon? Were you there when I put the sea in its proper place and the land in its place? Were you there when I set in motion everything? In other words, God didn't say, I know my son, I'm sorry, but I have my reason. No, he said, are you me? Do you know what I know? Right? And of course, Job didn't. Now, ultimately, as we know, and if you read in the book of Job, Job was restored, right? He received all those things back. And all the while, even though he grumbled, he remained faithful. You and I, in looking at Job, we hear a lot, right, about the expression, the patience of Job, and that's true. Especially in the early time of this trial. But I think what we need to think about, in addition to having Job as an exemplar for us of patience and trustworthiness of God and faithfulness to God and so on, is what we really need to look at is the patience of God. Right? Because Jesus, in the back of the boat, well, first of all, there's another, what the Sam Hill, right? I mean, here's a storm. If you look at the painting by Rembrandt of the storm, I mean, it's pretty bad. And these guys are fishermen. They're professional fishermen. They've been on the Sea of Galilee all their lives. They know all this stuff. They know what to do when a storm comes up. But they are frightened. And again, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And they say, Lord, don't you know that we're perishing? They have doubt. They have frustration. God, why aren't you helping us? And so Jesus wakes up and he gets up and he says, quiet, be still. And the storm stills and there's calm. And I don't know if God's revelation intended this or not, but it's a connection that I made in my prayer. And that is this phrase, quiet, be still, reminds me of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, you and I, my brothers and sisters, have got to understand on some level that God is God and we are not. That we are mere children. That's why I asked at the beginning, are you spiritually mature? No, none of us are. We are spiritual children. And when we get frustrated with God, we say, Lord, why aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you curing this disease I have? Why aren't you finding me a job? Why aren't you bringing my children back to the church? Da, 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 da. He says, well, because I'm God and you're not. And I know what I'm about. And I know what I'm doing. So my brothers and sisters, as we hear Jesus, let us also hear him ask us in a very pointed way, like God did of Job in a way. Jesus says, do you not yet have faith? Why are you terrified? In other words, I've got this. I've got it. I know it's hard for you at the moment, but I've got this. You see, God either allows or causes everything. He either allows or he causes everything. And so you and I, my brothers and sisters, of course, God understands when we are frustrated, when we're scared, when we don't understand. He understands. He's not mad at us for that. But even though he's not mad at us, he still, in the end, asks us, why do you not yet have faith? God saved and restored Job. God calmed the sea. And God will save you and me.